Hey, it's Buster Olney of the Baseball Tonight podcast. With ESPN Daily, you can wake up to the best story you'll hear all day. 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, where you get an inside look at the most interesting stories at ESPN. It's told by the top reporters and insider on the planet. Plus, Mina Kimes does such a great job with it. The breaking news of SportsCenter with a deep dive storytelling of 30 for 30. Today's episode is one I thought our listeners would especially enjoy. Please listen and subscribe to ESPN Daily wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Clearly, Alex Cora had to go. He should be ashamed of himself. He really, really should. You know good and damn well when you cross in the line. And clearly, in this particular instance, his willingness to do so is just so egregious because you're cheating the competition.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora was one of baseball's brightest stars. But after he found himself at the center of the league's ongoing sign-stealing scandal, his downfall came even more quickly than his rapid ascent. Today, how a gifted young coach crossed the line, and what's next for a sport that's facing its biggest crisis in years. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Thursday, January 16th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. Buster, hello.
Hey, Mina.
Buster Olney covers baseball for ESPN. So Buster, the Red Sox and Alex Cora mutually parted ways on Tuesday. I think that's what we're calling it. After it was revealed that Cora was an integral part in the illegal sign-stealing operation in Houston in 2017 when he was the Astros' bench coach, MLB is currently investigating the Red Sox as well to determine whether he implemented similar sign-stealing in their 2018 World Series winning season. And now we are all awaiting to see what his punishment will be. What was your reaction to the report of his wrongdoing and his subsequent firing?
Well, I wasn't surprised that he wound up leaving. And from what I understand from talking with sources, that he knew as soon as the Astros fired A.J. Hinch and they fired Jeff Luhnow, their general manager, that his position with the Red Sox was untenable. The precedent had been set in terms of the suspensions. And, you know, at the very least, Alex was going to probably get a year. And if they were to stack on the extra counts for the Red Sox in 2018, at the end of that investigation, you know, he might even get more time than that. And so I think he totally understood that they're in a position where they were going to have to consider a change.
We met with Alex yesterday, and everyone went into that meeting trying to answer the question is what was in the best interest for the Boston Red Sox. Alex was professional, understanding that he had made a mistake, and so after a couple of conversations, we all mutually agreed that we needed to part ways, but we do it.
Alex feels like, to some degree, that he's leaving on his own terms. You know, just as someone who's known him for a long time, who worked with him, I don't certainly feel that way. A year ago, I think we would talk about Alex as being the most powerful manager in baseball, and now we don't know if he's ever going to manage in the big leagues again.
Well, you worked with him when he was at ESPN, right?
Right. Worked with him for 4 years at ESPN, did shows with him, was around him. And then after he left, you know, when I would do my work on Sunday Night Baseball or other type reporting and you'd talk to him or you're around the Red Sox and you watched how he interacted with players, boy, he ascended so quickly. And I can't remember someone who probably was better suited for the position of manager. And as they say, I can't sit here today and predict that he's ever going to manage again in the major leagues.
Buster, what did baseball say that Alex Cora actually did in Houston?
That he was essentially at the center of the conversation that had, you know, begun with Carlos Beltran and some of the players about refining the sign stealing. Alex was the one, according to the report, who asked an employee to install a monitor that could be used right behind the Astros dugout. And by the way, that monitor was located no more than 30 feet where A.J. Hinch, their manager, was standing. No more than 30 feet where Alex was doing his work as a bench coach during the course of the game.
So basically, everybody knew it was there.
Everybody. You know, I've heard stories in the last 48 hours about how members of the Astros have reached out to people with other teams after The Athletic came out with their initial report and have tried to assure, you know, peers, competitors, hey, don't, it wasn't that it's serious. That story was overblown. And then when the report came out with the details the other day, there is so much anger. There are friendships that are fractured because of how some members of the Astros, not only did they cheat back in 2017, but in the 2 months that followed The Athletic report, they've been lying to their peers about what they were doing.
What was Cora's reputation like around baseball before this news came out?
He was known as the guy who would hold things together during a moment of crisis. He took over the national team for Puerto Rico, leading in the WBC. He showed such a great way of dealing with players, of connecting with people. You know, at that time, the Puerto Rico national team potentially had three shortstops, Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor and Carlos Correa. And among baseball nerds like myself, we were all wondering, like, how is Alex going to work through those egos? You know, how is he going to convince one guy to be the third baseman and one guy to be the shortstop and one guy to be the second baseman? And he did it. And when he was the Astros bench coach in 2017, man, he made such great connections with, you know, Alex Bregman and George Springer. They loved Alex Cora. The players loved Alex. Other people in baseball absolutely love Alex. When the Red Sox officials who, you know, put in this position where they have to fire him, they talked about that, how much regard they have for him. And I think that's has been universal leading up to this whole decision.
What was he like as a player?
At the time he was drafted by the Dodgers, he was regarded as as an excellent prospect, but he never really developed into the consistent offensive player that the Dodgers thought he was going to be. He carved out this role through a 14-year career of being a role player, but he was a smart guy and was always known, like Carlos Beltran, as someone who was really good at ascertaining what the other team was doing with its signs. For decades, there was an accepted form of stealing signs, and that would be the runner standing at second base and figuring out what the catcher signs were, and then, you know, with a lean or with the placement of a hand on a knee, they could convey to the hitter what the next pitch was. And that's the reputation that he developed early on.
So he was good at sign stealing back then?
He was good at, I think, picking up on pitch tipping. I'm sure, as smart as Alex is and as much experience as he had in baseball, he was tremendous at picking up signs when he's leading off at second base and potentially relaying them back to the hitter.
So despite that sign stealing ability, Alex Cora never really broke through as a player. He retired in 2011 as a career 243 hitter. But in 2016, Buster, he returns to the big leagues as the Astros bench coach. Now, Houston is known as an extremely progressive, forward-thinking organization. How much were analytics and video a part of Cora's coaching methods?
It was a lot in terms of what he was responsible for with defensive positioning. You know, I've had conversations with Alex when we would talk about an infielder who maybe wasn't that good and didn't have that much range. And Alex would give me a wink and say, he'll be fine. We'll put him in the right place. That's part of what he excelled at when he was with the Astros, you know, putting a guy in a right spot to make a play. Now, the Astros, under Jeff Luhnow, always had a rule that reporters could not talk to coaches. The only organization in baseball that I know of that made that a rule, I think in part because they wanted to protect their information. They didn't want the coaches talking about what they were doing. But I think Alex, like Brent Strom, their pitching coach, like A.J. Hinch, they got a lot of information, a lot of feedback from the front office that they wound up using.
The culture in the organization has come under a lot of scrutiny, really, for months now. The commissioner's statement singled it out. Do you think Cora felt enabled, perhaps, by the Astros' focus on winning at all costs?
Absolutely. When you look back at the history of the Astros after Jeff Luhnow took over, boy, does this seem inevitable. Because, I mean, they have absolutely skirted right at the edge of competitive propriety all the way through. When you think about what happened when Jeff took over the team, not only did they tank, they tanked in a way that no one had ever seen before in baseball. You know, in one year, I think it was 2013, they cut their payroll down to the point where only one player on the team at the end of the year was making over $1 million. One player. I know what the commissioner said about the word tanking, but I can tell you privately, so many executives at that time are going, you see what they're doing? They are absolutely, they're not even pretending to have a representative major league product. It was clear from their actions then that so long as you wound up winning and you got the number one pick and you picked Carlos Correa or you wound up with an Alex Bregman, that would justify what they did. That same sort of mentality was in play during the sign-stealing stuff.
Coming up, did the Red Sox break the rules during their 2018 World Series run? Buster, the commissioner's statement from earlier in the week points to Alex as being the ringleader for the whole sign-stealing Operation Houston, the only coach really involved. This statement says AJ Hinch, the manager, knew about it to some extent and actually signified his opposition to it by smashing the monitor they used at one point, which got me thinking, what is the dynamic between Hinch and Cora like? Why do you think Hinch didn't just shut it down?
You see, and that's where some of what was written, I kind of laughed at. Like, AJ Hinch is the manager, right? And he's the boss, and there's no question about it. And if at some point he wanted this to stop, he could have stopped it. He could have just told Alex, knock it off. He had the power to do that. And that's why it struck me as being a little bit, for lack of a better word, weaselly, to hide behind that. Well, I disabled the monitor twice to demonstrate that I wasn't happy. No, go tell them you don't want them to do it. In so many situations, in AJ's time as manager, he certainly did that. He made his opinions known. What I think happened is the Astros, Alex, perhaps convinced themselves that, well, you know what? Everybody's doing it. Because, let me tell you, there were suspicions about the Yankees and about the Dodgers and about the Red Sox. It was all over the place. And I suspect that when the Astros players started talking about it and started doing it, that the reason why no one stepped in, whether it was AJ or Alex or, you know, Beltran or any of the other players, was that there was that feeling of, oh, this is pervasive. And I don't believe that it was. And I've heard that from a lot of folks with other teams in the aftermath of these suspensions coming down. They're like, no, we weren't doing it. You know, those guys were taking it to a completely different level. And I think it got absolutely out of control with Alex really pushing it.
Corey Seager, the batter, and a swing and a ground ball for Altuve out on the outfield grass. On to first, and the Houston Astros have claimed that city's first ever World Series championship.
So the Astros won the World Series in 2017, and that offseason, Alex Cora was hired as the manager of the Red Sox. How was that received?
Almost as a fait accompli. That offseason, because of Alex's reputation and because of what the Astros had accomplished in 2017, he was like the hottest managerial prospect.
We selected Alex as our thought process, as the person that we thought would provide the type of leadership, type of respect, quality baseball man.
That was their guy. You know, when they let John Farrell go, Alex Cora was going to be the guy that they were going to hire.
I received positive feedback from everyone. If it was someone in our front office, someone that had dealt with them in the clubhouse from a player perspective, young players, veteran players.
So he led the Red Sox to their own World Series the next year. Were there any whispers at the time about illegal sign stealing or activity that you were aware of?
Look, all through 2017 and 2018, there was so much talk about cheating in baseball. And so many of the suspicions, of course, were centered around the Astros, and they were centered around Alex Cora, And that kind of conversation even picked up through 2018, through the postseason. You know, I've never seen, the level of paranoia that we saw in baseball in the postseason of 2018. You know, stories about teams being concerned about not being able to sign on to Wi-Fi when they were the visiting team because they thought they were being hacked. Believe me, there were so many teams complaining about the Red Sox and about the Astros, even after, you know, Alex leaves the Astros at the end of the 2017 season. There were still conversations about the Astros, the point that you talk with executives of other clubs and you'd always hear that, you know, those cheating MFers all the time about the Astros and the Red Sox. But I didn't hear anything specific about how they were pulling it off.
What's the current status of the investigation into the Red Sox?
What I was told this morning is that it's still in its early stages. Now, I don't think, given what went on with the Astros, that this will take nearly as long, because now it's been demonstrated that Manfred could come down with a hammer. And so when he talks to people, the Red Sox, I think they're almost walking in there with their hands in the air saying, okay, I'll tell you everything, because they've seen what's happened in this case. And I suspect they're going to get to the bottom of it really quickly.
On Tuesday, Jeff Passan came on the show and said it was possible Alex could get a permanent ban from baseball. What are you hearing on that front?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. You know, what I've heard is, because I wondered if in Alex's case, the way that he would be treated is, okay, we've determined that you broke baseball's rules. You get the same suspension that Jeff Luhnow got, that A.J. Hinch got, regardless of what we find out about the 2018 Red Sox. And I have been told, no, it's not the case. So in a sense, he's almost like a criminal where they're stacking up counts against him. And yeah, his penalty could be greater. And that's why I think it's an open question as to whether or not he manages in baseball again.
Buster, you know Cora well, you've written about him, you've worked with him, you've covered his story for a long time. How do you think that story will ultimately be remembered?
Sad. I already find myself thinking of a comparison with someone like Shoeless Joe Jackson. When you read contemporary accounts about Shoeless Joe Jackson as a player, you know, Ty Cobb and others talking about how he was perhaps the best player of that era. But of course, because he was involved with the Black Sox scandal in 1919 and Kennesaw Mountain Landis threw him out of the game, he's largely forgotten in history. Based on what we saw in the commissioner's report the other day, based on what they're investigating now, I don't think you can draw a conclusion other than he made serious mistakes. Alex is as talented and as perfect as someone is suited to be a manager in baseball as I've ever been around. And it may be that that talent will never manifest itself again in Major League Baseball.
Thanks so much, Buster.
Thanks, Mina.
Coming up, the man who could be the key to the Chiefs' hopes in the AFC Championship. It's not Patrick Mahomes. Here's another story I want you to know. This weekend, the Kansas City Chiefs host the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game. And while it's the hottest ticket in town, there's one Chiefs fan who's not trying to go because the success of the team apparently hinges on his absence. His name is Charles Penn, but he is now known as Bad Luck Chuck. You might have heard Chuck for the first time during the Texans game when the Chiefs started losing 24-0. He posted a video on Twitter telling the world he was leaving the stadium.
All right, I'm out of here. I'm out of here so we get the second half comeback going. Hopefully. Can't do it. Gotta leave, man. It's my only hope.
If you watched the game, you know what happened next. The Chiefs scored 41 unanswered points in one of the greatest turnarounds in NFL history. Afterwards, quarterback Patrick Mahomes was asked about Chuck and had this to say.
What would you say to that fan? Watch next game at home.
Later, Mahomes tweeted at him and thanked him for his sacrifice. Now, you might be wondering, why was Chuck so quick to diagnose himself as a problem? The Athletic's Nate Taylor explains in a story that Chuck, a lifelong Chiefs fan who works as a postal service clerk in the area, had seen two postseason games at Arrowhead before last week. And Kansas City was 0-2 in those games. He witnessed the team's loss to the Titans in the 2017 wildcard round, which was Alex Smith's last game as a Chief, and was in the stadium last year when Kansas City was beat by New England in the AFC Championship. So with that cursed history in mind and some mild nudges from his friends who were aware of his jinxing powers, he took one for the team, literally, and made his choice. Now, I'm sure there are some people who are listening to this and thinking he's off his rocker. He could have stayed, not wasted his $258 ticket, and witnessed a historic comeback. But I disagree, because much like Chuck, I'm superstitious, or maybe a little stitious. I've changed jerseys 4 times during a game. I've left sports bars because they felt unlucky. I've forced people I love to leave a room because of their bad juju. They still have not forgiven me. And like our Chiefs fan, I know it doesn't matter. I know I don't have godlike powers. I know that luck isn't real. But I also know that when I'm watching something I have zero control over, it feels good to exert a little control over something insignificant. And for Chuck, it clearly paid off. Not just because the Chiefs won, but because fans are now rallying behind him. His own friend suggested that the team should let Chuck bang the drum in the stadium before the championship to honor him for his contribution. And then he should immediately leave. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. We'll be back tomorrow.